From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who had made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanence come in glory. Since then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ it is set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from the one degree of the glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit.
I welcome us to a time of prayer as we gather to reflect on this word. Creator Spirit, living God, in your being we are formed, in your grace we are transformed, and in the vision of your kingdom we say we see and know new ways in this world. We invite your Spirit to be present with each of us, working to imagine within us and beyond us the work of joy that is becoming your body, the body of Christ, and the work of joy that is transforming the world in the ways of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to look at the front of the bulletin. It's a photograph, and you can look at it in a number of ways. How do you see what is portrayed there? It's a person walking alone on a beach, a vacation beach, a relaxing time to get away, a time to be bathed in light and hear the water and see the beauty of creation. Or it's a person alone, wondering about life, wondering where they are in the midst of their own life, walking on a beach for whatever reason, without reason. What do you see in the picture? A relaxing vacation and renewal, or alienation and wondering and questioning? We find ourselves at different points in our lives, seeing ourselves in the mirror Marin described differently. In the challenges before us in this new year as a community of faith, how do we see ourselves? Walking in the light of Christ, this Epiphany, I'm inviting us, Martin and I are inviting us to journey, to take a journey on another way. So I'd like you to turn to the back of the bulletin and read a summary of this journey with me. Right above the address and the logo for the church, there's a small paragraph there marked theme. Another way, I invite us to read together the part that begins the light. Let us read. The light of Christ we walk with in this Epiphany season leads us to being and becoming another way as the church. Walking another way in this world means revealing the kingdom of God step by step in our life together. The new freedom in the Spirit of Christ lightens our steps and brings new hope in the face of challenges. So looking again at the mirror of our lives, what do we see? Do we see the new year ahead of us and all its challenges? Or do we see the power with us and within us to face those challenges, not alone? What does it mean to know the Spirit of Christ in our midst in this age? Last week I heard a fascinating show on Science Friday, which I listen to once in a while. Ira Flatow talks about many aspects of science. And he had a guest from Harvard University talking about the placebo effect in medical profession. And this person had gotten his training in Oriental medicine and ended up at Harvard researching Oriental medicine. And he found himself researching why the placebo effect works in a significant percentage of patients and situations. So he described how, and you can listen to it online, public radio, Science Friday, he described how the placebo effect works. And he described it this way. The significant relational attachment between the medical caregiver in the process of giving care, the care for the other, evoked some kind of response within the body of the patient so that the patient's body healed itself. And he had a series of experiments where they even gave false placebo effects medicine, told people that were, you can listen online, how he structured it out. And there always was a significant percentage of transformation that happened from within. Sometimes even when people were told it was a placebo. What does that mean? You medical folks are thinking through all that and within your training. I'm a pastor type, so I try to think through that in terms of what our attachments to each other in God's grace means for us as we look at ourselves on a beach, when we look at ourselves alone, when we look at ourselves in the ways that we have been formed in hope. I'd like to look at this passage through a few stories. First, the first story, the light we walk with. If you look carefully at this photograph, there's a light, I think, behind this person, pushing them forward almost, holding them, enveloping them. Maybe it's so hot they're sweating and they wish they need to jump in the water once in a while. I don't know. The light around us changes who we are and what we do. And I'm going to tell a story of a trail of change that is pretty significant. And I invite you to listen to this for the potential of the transformation of pain in this world and in our relationships. It's a story I'm going to add to that I've told before. It's a story about restorative justice, which deals with people who've been in difficult circumstances with the legal system as teenagers often. Jen Larson Solomon, who is a member of our church, now in Boston, where her husband teaches at Tufts Medical School, started a program with restorative justice outside of Boston in a community. And I told the story before how the the light of the power of transforming relationships, how the attachments developed between victim and offender in situations set up by the legal system can lead toward significant transformations for both parties. As the victim is listened to, and the offender gets to hear the results of what they did, and it's also transformed in those attachments. You can draw your own connections to placebo effect. But what happens in those encounters is significant, so significant that the 30-year captain of the police force in this place where Jen set up this program ended up at Eastern Mennonite University studying restorative justice in his retirement and not walking along some beach, enjoying his retirement. Something about the light of Christ drew him to that moment. And so, I've told this story before. I will add another note. In a card Jen sent to us, she indicated she's been invited to exploratory conversations with the Boston City Police Department about setting up a restorative justice program. The light and power of the attachments of transformation in our lives draw us to something of the power of restoration that is God's. Again, what is written on the back of the bulletin. The light of Christ we walk with in this Epiphany season leads us to becoming, to being and becoming another way as the church. The light of Jen's vision led her to both be and become another way, presenting another vision in her context. That has changed hundreds of lives so far. Another story. If you look in your church mailboxes, and if you don't have one yet, please let us know. It's hard to keep up with folks moving in and out of town. There are fascinating series of stories from the Connections magazine on the church in Italy and transformations there. But the front cover is a story of the church leaders in Asia, missional church leaders in Asia. I invite you to read these stories for how the power of grace and truth and love transforms lives, from Thailand to Indonesia to many places around the world. I'll tell a story of a changed life and vision that I got in touch with this week that connects from Indonesia. A few years ago, I met a young Indonesian man. He was a leader in the Muslim community in Indonesia, and he was studying peace building at Eastern Mennonite University. He went from there to Boston University to study anthropology, and I got in touch with him last week through a connection that I was made. He is now researching for his doctoral degree the peacemaking efforts of the Mennonites between militant Muslims and Christians in Indonesia, and how the deep transformation of relationships happened there. And he wants to understand how that happened as a Muslim peacemaker. The vision of those original peacemakers, the Mennonite pastor Paulus Horanto in Indonesia, did what? Reading again from our paragraph. Walking another way in this world means revealing the kingdom of God step by step in our life together. The new freedom in the Spirit of Christ lightens our steps and brings hope in the face of challenges. Sumanto is uncovering the nature of that hope for his home community. What does this mean in our life? Many of you are facing challenging situations at work or in family or in other settings where you wonder, as you walk along with the light of Christ behind you, what is the hope you bring? And as a church community, I invite us to hold ourselves and each other in the light of Christ in this season. If you can hold yourself in that light, I invite you to hear these words that came before 2 Corinthians 3, before what we heard Sean read to us. From chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing Him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance from death to death, and from another, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but in Christ we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in his presence. What does that mean? I think it means that as Christ came into the world as the being and love of God, showing us fully his grace, we have a sense of that glory described in 2 Corinthians 3. Living in a new freedom, not caught by the powers of enmity, destruction around us, that those two stories I told about already describe transformations from external tensions, but also from within. If you turn to page 4 of Connections, you'll see a powerful story about two young Italian teenage girls who have newness of life in the spirit as a result of the ministry of the church there. The church started by some folks from Harrisonburg Mennonite Church that David Lenhart was a part of before he moved here. And if you read this article, Freed from Condemnation to Live in Grace, you'll see the light of the freedom of that spiritual work of God from within, described there. What does this mean for us? As we begin our church together, I'd like us to review what we do for each other as a church in this new year. We, in a sense, are starting again with the light of Christ in Epiphany. So what happens to us in the year as we form and transform each other, as we walk together on the beaches of our lives? I want you to listen to this. How do we connect to each other? What are those transforming encounters? I see them in discussions between you before and after church. How is life going? How are you doing? What is happening in your journey? I see it happening in Sunday school classes where we discern together the ways of being in this world, how to walk in this light. I hear about it happening in small groups and see it happening where transformation and listening, the painful and the good, invites us not to alienation but to hold our pain in each other's presence. I see it, as I've heard of many side conversations, when this or that person get together for lunch or coffee or a phone call, where we hold each other up to and in the light of Christ. It happens in men's Bible study, as it did last Monday evening at Random Road Books. It happens in the women's book study Monday morning, that's studying spiritual direction now. It happens at the men's breakfast, when we hold each other and issues in open dialogue. It happens at moving crews, when we gather together to help each other into and out of this place called Charlottesville, and we celebrate over meals and over conversations the relationships that are just beginning or just ending. It happens in the ministries of our church, in walking with students who come to town for a number of years. That is one of the core ministries of our church. How can we walk with you in this time of your being here? It happens in our life stages rituals, child dedications, the powerful words from Elizabeth and Barahona for their daughter still ring in my heart from the child dedication that happened a few months ago. It happens in baptisms and welcoming of new members, in coaching each other in wholeness, spiritual, emotional, financial, social, physical. Wholeness is something we all long for, and there are parts of our lives still broken. We're all on a journey, and we invite wholeness for each other. Not always easily, not always well received, but we invite through the light and glory of the Spirit. It happens in pastoral care, in life-transforming moments, in births and deaths and separations, in challenging situations, in family and work, in community life, where we connect in hope. This morning at 8 o'clock, I got a call from Clayton Schuming. He is with his family as his grandfather is near death at a hospice in North Carolina. And we talked for almost a half an hour. And I will not say what he said, but I coached him on how to be a presence I described how a circle of love is a powerful experience where you gather family in a circle around the bed and tell the stories or say goodbye in the way you need to say goodbye. How do we, out of our caring for each other, actually become pastors of our own? Listen to the sharing time on Sunday of how each of you at times reach out to others around you and invite for prayers for how to do that. It's significant. It's exciting where I sit as a pastor, hearing this and that going on as you become ministers of this light that surrounds us in unique ways. What does it mean when we as a church walk with each other at times in small circles for the healing of memories from the past that can capture us and hold us back and down emotionally? I've been in those powerful moments where a few of you have gathered around somebody who wants to take a journey of transformation or a journey of discernment in your clearing circle where we listen and ask questions only for hours on end until we get the clarity that somebody needs with a question they bring to a group and then see a sense of resolution and focus after that time. What does it mean that we have walked with rituals of transformation in our community that have led to new vision and understanding? What does it mean that there have been times of informal spiritual direction between you as members and between pastors and some of you? The list could go on, but I've described some of those lights that are in our community where we are the body of Christ transforming each other and the world around us. And it is exciting. It is glory, as described in 2 Corinthians 2. And so in conclusion, I'd like to read verse 18 again. If the image of God within us and the image of God in those around us we see through the windows of our lives, as Maran described, is broken and in need of God's transforming grace and new structures of transformation and new grace in our own lives, who are we as we stand in those places of transformation for others? As I stand here, I have in my mind the image of the Christmas card sent by Shelley and Kenton. Kenton Longenacre and Shelley Mann were a part of our church years ago, and we stay in touch as family friends, our family does. And there's a picture at the bottom left-hand corner of Philip being baptized. Probably in one of the local lakes we've seen up in Grays Lake. And the joy on his face coming out of the baptismal waters. The transformation into newness of life, the invitation of God's Spirit to each of us to know that we are more than ourselves alone and need a grace beyond ourselves to hold our brokenness, is a powerful word. So I invite you to hear again in your own struggle and journey and joys this word from the Apostle Paul to a church in Corinth, in the city of Corinth, that was struggling itself. He says in verse 18, "And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." Let us pray. Living God, we come before you as the one who holds us, both holds us within in the transforming power of your grace and holds us together in the transforming powers of your peace in our community life, in our societies, and in the life of our nations. When we fail you within and when we fail you in our social and political relationships, we know the pain that that causes and see it. May your transforming spirit walk in power in this church, the body of Christ gathered here in this coming year. Help free us from that which holds us back into the liberty and freedom of your Spirit as we begin to name the realities in our life and the lives of those around us that need your transforming presence. We thank you for the witness of this writer, the Apostle Paul, whose own life was transformed from hateful enmity and the persecution of the religious other to a life of gracious invitation to your kingdom. May those parts of our lives that are still trapped in enmity, still trapped in the brokenness of resentments against others in the past, be freed by the same spirit that met Paul on the road to Emmaus, on the road to Damascus. May you meet us in our lives in this coming year as we do enjoy gathering together as the body of Christ, as the church, each Sunday and in many other ways. May your spirit be found among us in the name and power of Jesus Christ. Amen.